Welcome to the 10th episode of Dissecting the 80s that is not under the very special episode banner. Warm welcome back to the other half, Mega Podcasting Powers,
Andrew Lano,
who is back next to me in the Dissecting the 80s studios for the first time in 6 months.
Yeah.
So welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
I think you had a story you wanted to share with the fine people before we got things rolling.
Yes, I went to the movies to see Into the Woods, and they had a special sneak peek of Paddington Bear, which, if you don't know, stars Nicole Kidman.
Longtime friend of the show.
And it was her talking head on a yellow background thing. Hi, I'm Nicole Kidman. And I just lost it in the middle of the movie theater. Room full of people don't understand this joke. And I was just laughing. And they're like, everyone's like, she didn't say it. Nothing happened. There's no Paddington action. There's nothing. It's literally just Nicole Kidman came on screen and said, hi, I'm Nicole Kidman. And I just lost it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, even my boyfriend was like, why are you laughing?
Before we get into it today, I just want to do some very, very short housekeeping things. Andrew, how do you feel about ads on podcasts?
I think they're not bad. They're kind of fun because it depends on how well you incorporate them in. I mean, there's only so much you can do without being like, hey, this is really natural for us to talk about my glasses from...
Exactly. And I feel the same way. So I don't want to do ads on the podcast. I would like to keep this ad-free unless we're shilling for our own stuff. So,
fair enough.
To that end, I just have one favor to ask people out there.
What is that favor?
I just want them to go onto iTunes and to rate and review the show.
Okay.
It takes what? 20 seconds?
I haven't done it.
Good. See, this is what I'm working with, people. The guy who I host the show with can't even take the 30 seconds to go out and click on iTunes and rate and review the show. I've done it because it's my show and I care about it. If you like listening to this, all you have to do is go into iTunes, type Dissecting the 80s, and click a star rating and write down a sentence. That's it. Even if you don't like the show, I'd rather you put down one star and be like, these two idiots won't stop talking, and I'll be okay with that. So
or
that's
SoundCloud, right? You can review on SoundCloud?
You can, but we don't put our podcast on SoundCloud because that costs money. So perhaps not the best avenue to...
Got it.
We are available on iTunes and Stitcher.
Stitcher, so that's what it was, sorry.
You can also review the show there, but frankly, as much as we would love your review on Stitcher, it helps us more on iTunes. The more you have ratings and reviews, the more people get to see and hear what you're doing. And that's all I want. All I want is people to hear this. I don't want to make money off it. I'm not trying to shill things.
Money isn't bad. Don't be like, no money, because that's just stupid.
I'm not saying I refuse to take money, but I'm not trying to shill, you know, or things like that. I just want you to listen to it.
Hang on, let me pick up that name you just dropped real quick. Hang on, guys.
Well, every podcast has the same six advertisers.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that. I would just want people to rate and review my show. That's all I'm asking. It's a small favor.
I do love though. I'm wearing their glasses right now.
But if they want to pay us to say that, that's okay. But I don't want, I would, I just, we're not asking people to spend their money. All that we're asking them to do is just click a star rating and write a sentence.
That's true.
Yeah.
Fairly reasonable.
We do have one other order of business to get to really quick before we start things. We have to extend a hearty congratulations to long, long time friend of the show, founding partner of the show, the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Because this year, after a long, long layoff, the Macho Man is going into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah.
Where is that?
It doesn't actually exist.
Got it.
It is more of a metaphorical Hall of Fame.
Got it.
Maybe one day.
Well, I mean, there's hockey in Canada. There's baseball somewhere.
Canton.
Cooperstown.
Canton is football.
There's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame also somewhere.
Cleveland, Ohio. I've been there.
That was Nashville.
Nope. That's the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, well, see? There's the stars in Hollywood on the walk.
That is
the
walking Walk stars. Of Fame.
But still, yeah. I figured it was an actual place.
Yeah, not yet.
Vince McMahon it is in his house.
So
you get a small portrait in a hallway in his house.
That's what it is. It's a huge house. He just has a wig dedicated to it. So on behalf of Dissecting the 80s, we just wanted to wish congratulations to our dear departed longtime friend of the show, the Macho Man Randy Savage.
I have underwear modeled after his wrestling uniform.
Yes, you do. We'll have to never show a picture of that to people on the internet.
If this was a video podcast, it'd be like, and pop up.
Splice. I just wanted to wish congratulations to one of basically the founders of the podcast. You, me, the Hulkster, and Macho Man Randy Savage. Welcome to Dissecting the 80s. Today, we are talking about perhaps my favorite movie we've discussed on this show. It is important to note, the 10th episode. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, 10.
Yeah.
10's kind of this decade.
That's true.
Yeah. If his podcast were months, we'd have a baby by now.
We would. That's true. We would have a weird, very strange looking baby. the progeny of Hulk Hogan and Macho Man Randy Savage would be really terrifying.
And also Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
And the cartoon show.
Yep.
And 80s Nicole Kidman.
Yep.
80s SJP.
Yep.
It would have the weirdest hot dog skin face, horse face.
And so much hair.
Hair.
Despite the hair fact that Hulk days. Hogan is in there. Too no, much no, hair.
It would have the balding pattern, but the hair that was there would just be huge. It would look like it had one of those travel pillows. The like travel neck pillows on the side of their, just taped to their head.
That's exactly Hulk Hogan's balding pattern.
I know.
That's the perfect way to describe
it. Yeah, it looks...
It's a travel pillow!
Yeah.
Oh, that's delightful. What we're talking about today is, I think, my favorite of the movies we've done so far.
So far?
Yeah, this and the Hulk Hogan movie are very closely tied together, because I watched this movie alone on my couch, and I had to pause it twice, because I was laughing so hard, I was crying.
Oh. I don't know, I think Maximum Overdrive might be mine.
That's good, too. We've had a good
some run. Solid ones. I mean, we've got some real bottom-of-the-barrel, don't bother.
Yes.
But I think Maximum might be my favorite. This is good, though. This is up there.
Yeah, I was touting it to you as my favorite, so I'm going to stand by that.
We gotta go back, Marty. We gotta go dissect the 80s.
The Mega Powers explode!
I'm talking about the 80s.
What you gonna do when Hulkamania run wild on you?
Mad Mega Power Team.
Oh, yeah.
This movie is based on a book written by Stephen King.
Written by Richard Bachman.
That's what I was about to say. Back when he was not allowed to write more than a book a year.
Oh, is that why that happened?
Yeah, the publishers said Americans won't buy it. If you're producing novels this quickly, they're going to be like, oh, they're all crap. So you have to use...
Counterpoint, maybe they are after the fact.
I have
not
to
then.
Say...
Not
I...
then. Now, probably.
Probably what?
His novels are probably not the best now.
He is a guy who either hits a home run or strikes out. He has no in between.
That's very true.
I either really like the book or I don't like it at all, and so I vacillate very wildly on them. Especially recent stuff is more uneven than it has been in the past. But honestly, everything I've read, including the Bachman stuff, mostly is very good from that era. That was sort of peak.
Oh yeah, that because that was around Carrie time, wasn't it?
I don't know when he actually wrote it. Carrie, I knew a long time before it was published, but
yeah.
He wrote a
and
lot of books
Carrie.
Between the late 70s and the 90s, and those are almost all very good, except mm-hmm. for the drug addiction.
Yeah, then it gets a little dicey.
Yeah.
But
I actually haven't read this book. I've been wanting to read it for a long time because I think it's a fascinating...
Based on the wiki article, the book sounds amazing.
Yeah. And so they bought the rights to this book and then decided to pretty much throw it all out.
It's like someone was reading The Running Man in the next room while they were making this movie.
Yes.
That's the closest tie-in we've got.
Yeah, and then they cast Arnold Schwarzenegger, who, while a guy we love on this show, is not perhaps the best actor.
Oh, no, he's not an actor. But if you go over someone who believably would kick some ass... Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I will buy that. 100%. I'm on board that he would kick some ass.
But this role requires some acting in addition to that.
Yeah, there's some depth involved that is not necessarily present.
He's supposed to be sort of a comic character. Not super complex. We're not talking multi-layered, crazy, fascinating
Yeah, it's
character.
Not like The Shining at all. It's more...
But he's supposed to be a guy that does more than just punch people in the head.
And be a good guy.
Right. So the gist of it is it's an end-of-the-world scenario, or a future... I'm sorry, not end-of-the-world scenario. Forgive me.
I wish you could put future in quotes as you say that.
It's next year? 2 years.
It's in
2017.
2017, yes. But, like, did we have that much faith in ourselves that, like... This would have been 1987.
Right.
This is the year 2017. That's what?
30 years
later. We really had that much faith in the human race that in 30 years' time, or like we had so little faith that in 30 years we'd be like devolved completely into just a sadomasochistic Mad Max world.
Yeah.
Like, what do they think was going to happen to us?
Well, the brands take over the world.
Okay. Which, not far off.
Yeah, pretty close. And because of that, they then become the ruling powers. Which, again, not that far off. It just didn't manifest in...
like, horrifying... like murder show.
No, but you could make an argument. I'm not, for the record, making this argument. But one could point to, like, the fact that, you know, obesity rates and all that stuff could be linked to all these corporations.
We're Wally people, pretty much?
Yeah, because of all these corporations and the way that American food works. I don't want to get into that on this podcast, because that's not what this podcast is. We're going to talk about dumb movies. And what the dumb movie we're going to talk about is Arnold Schwarzenegger has to basically fend for his life against a bunch of super mutants.
Yeah, he fends himself off against a henchman from Batman and Robin. in the movie.
Well, let's go through it blow by blow so we get to the people, because I don't want to gloss over the henchmen, because that was my favorite part of this.
Or the Electric Light Parade.
Yes.
I had to say it. I'm sorry.
That's all right. We'll get to all of these things. Don't you worry. So
my other question, though, logistically.
Okay.
When he was publishing under Richard Bachman, did people know that that was Stephen King?
I think some people knew. I wasn't alive then, so I couldn't tell you.
But it wasn't like, oh, guys, wink, wink, it's Richard Bachman. It was like, oh, look at this guy. He's writing books.
Yeah, he never, I don't think he had an artist picture on his book jacket, or if he did, maybe it was,
I know, because he did, because I think I've started to read the Pretenders, that's a band.
The Regulators?
Yes, The Regulators, and I think there is, in fact, a...
The Regulators copy you're referring to is one of mine, and it's one that they published well after he had come out. So this is the author photo.
The actual subject of the photo is Richard Manuel, the insurance agent of Kirby McCauley, King's literary agent.
Yeah, so you could only do one book a year. He wanted to do more than that.
That's interesting that they would do that and be like, hey...
Yeah.
I guess people were kind of that way.
Yeah, I mean, this says that the link was exposed after a bookstore clerk, Steve Brown, noted similarities between the writing style. He located publisher's records at the Library of Congress, which included a document naming King as the author of one of Bachman's novels. He wrote to his publishers with a copy and asked what to do.
2 weeks later, King, like National Treasure of stupid things?
Yes. And the funny thing is, now you just Google that, but back then that required legwork, because it happened to be a clerk who worked in D.C., or this never would have been found out then.
Yeah, because how the hell are you gonna, I wouldn't have thought to check the Library of Congress, but then right. Again, I'm super millennial kid.
Like, and yeah.
If there wasn't for the National Treasure 2 movie, I probably wouldn't know about the Library of Congress.
That is the saddest indictment of our.
I am a victim
system.
Of the public education system.
Jesus.
In America.
Jesus. Anyway, let's get to The Running Man, because we've dabbled the whole time. So, American society is this totalitarian police state, and essentially all culture and crime is viewed through the lens of Richard Dawson, who is hosting a demented game show.
This felt like Richard Dawson was like, I'm a, like, inside, he was like, I'm really dark and twisted inside, and I want to let it out without actually letting it out. And, like, this is how he feels about the world.
And do you remember watching Richard Dawson on The Feud and similar programs?
In YouTube, on, like, in the YouTube space, yes, not, like, I
was. Well, you weren't alive, yeah. But Dad used to watch them.
How he would kiss every woman on the mouth?
Yes.
And it was, I remember that from, How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah.
That, like, he would kiss every female contestant on the mouth, and that's kind of weird. Especially because they're little, and he would be like, oh, little ones, try and run, and you're like, that's a creepy sentence.
he seemed kind of perpetuating.
I mean,
I'm
not
suggesting
in
he
the
was.
Hey, in the 80s, I wouldn't blame him.
70s too. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I feel like, because Mad Men's the 60s, and everyone's drunk in Mad Men,
right.
So I hear. I don't watch the show, but like, they probably carried over to the 70s, and if you're old, carried over to the 80s. Well, why not? Who's gonna stop you?
So, but the thing that I really like about this movie is the idea that they took an actual game show host and they cast him to host this really effed up game show, to do, because that's kind of brilliant.
And he owns it.
Yeah,
he owns that
kicks
role.
So much ass as this evil, maniacal bad guy who I'm just gonna call Richard Dawson the whole movie, because I don't remember any characters' names for anything. But
Damon Killian. I don't know why I remember that. It's Damon Killian.
But this is the equivalent of hiring like Bob Barker to be like a demented murder bot robot. And
yeah,
it's so awesome. Like, he just kills it.
It's kind of, I would akin it, again, I haven't seen the movie, but I would akin it to Michael Keaton playing Birdman this year, of like, find someone who's been, and like we're gonna kind of lampoon your life a little bit. Go with it.
Sure.
See what happens.
So Ben Richards is Arnold Schwarzenegger's character, and he is a police pilot who they pin a massacre on. He says, like, you can't kill all these people, and then they're
unarmed.
And then he does that like three times, I think he says.
Yeah,
that.
They're unarmed. Basically, the idea is that they sent this military helicopter into a riot, a food riot, because it seems as, like, do they just drop food pallets places and people have to go, like, try and get it?
I assume that they drop the food pallets and then there's supposed to be some sort of organized distribution of the food.
But
and instead people are like, we're so hungry.
We just want a ramen noodle.
Yeah, so they
a single gross, hard, crusty ramen noodle.
And Arnold is like, they're like, you have to murder all those people down. He's like, they're unarmed.
They're all unarmed. It's 1,500 people, 15 or 15,000. It's a ridiculous number of unarmed people. And he's like, no. And they're like, okay, well, co-pilot, you do it. Tame him.
And then he's like, no, they're unarmed. And then the third time he gets to a full-on scream and it's a fight.
All 4 inches of spare room in this helicopter because of Arnold Schwarzenegger's mass are taken up by this fight where he punches someone. Someone manages to, like, over the shoulder him over the seat, and like he almost falls out the window.
Yes,
or the door rather. It's a very tiny helicopter,
and somehow they manage to have a fully choreographed fist fight with Arnold and five anonymous henchmen. So they pin a massacre on
them. Yeah, they murder all those people.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of glossed over. Like it's not mentioned as much as it should be in like the full light of like, hey, they're dead.
They're all murdered, and they pin it on him, and he goes to a labor camp. And so the very early part of this movie is him trying to escape from this labor camp, which is kind of awesome. It turns into this little like capery action
scene. Yeah, it's cool because they don't give you all the facts and they kind of let things play out, and you're like, well, I wonder what the stakes are here.
Yeah,
what's going on?
Exactly. So we know he's wrongfully accused and he's going to get it out. And I will say that Arnold is in this. Arnold is the first time I ever saw comedy voice Arnold, because this is the voice largely in this movie is Arnold from Jingle All the Way, not Arnold in the Terminator.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that.
So he's not doing his very like stoic, quiet, like I'll be back. It's more the like Jamie.
Yeah, I think he's gotten over the whole embarrassment of his accent and just been like, whatever, it's a paycheck.
Yes, exactly. Although this movie is the life. And he also rocks a beard.
He does. It's not bad. Yeah, it is not a bad beard.
It's a good look for him. I don't know why he doesn't do the beard more often.
Because it throws off the whole balance of his body. Because he is probably a size 68 suit.
At least 68. He's enormous.
He is. He's literally a human triangle.
Yes.
Like, more so than anyone we talked about for No Holds Barred.
I don't know if he or Hulk is bigger shoulder-wise, but it's close.
I think if you held him... No, because I think in terms of a drastic nature, like, drastic Hulk, contrast...
Hulk absolutely skipped, like, and Arnold did not.
Yeah. So, like, Arnold is at least, like, he looks like a martini glass. He's got the like, huge shoulders and the teeny waist, but, like, it's still, like, proportional.
Yeah.
But, like, Hulk is just, like, the all top half.
Yeah.
Like, you could put him in a wheelchair and he would move around just fine.
He would just walk on his hands.
Yeah. He'd be like the troll gremlin from Hellboy 2.
Yes, he could just drag himself along. So he breaks out, and I really like this action sequence because it's full of Arnold one-liners. Which
oh,
is
my
the best
God.
Thing.
I didn't realize how serious those were in the 80s. I've always, like, heard the joke of, like, gotta fly, or, like,
and then they kick
have
a
nice
window.
Trip.
Yeah.
But, like, I was like, oh, that's just, like, an 80s joke. No, it's a reality.
Give you a lift, and then he hits the button, and the guy goes up the thing.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Or, did he say ice to meet you? Please tell me he said ice to meet you.
Ice to meet you is from Mystery. But we'll get to the cold guy, because that's amazing, too. So, one of the things that they tell you when you're making a movie, when you're working on movies, you got to show, don't tell.
Oh, yeah, that's also part of general improvisational acting.
Right, show, don't tell. In this one, when they threaten that the collar that they're wearing will blow up if you run away, they don't just tell you that.
Because they don't tell you that. They let you see it.
Yep.
There's no. You don't know what the threat is. You just know that they're wearing a collar. I'm like, oh, is it a shock collar like a dog? Because this collar, by the way, looks kind of like a camelback tube.
Yes.
Like the backpack with the drinking straw. Yeah. It looks like they have one of those wrapped around their neck and like a deflated neck pillow.
Mm-hmm. Just and this guy takes off running across the field, and
and
like,
everyone's
stop
telling
running.
Him, literally an entire encampment of people is like, stop, don't, stop running.
We haven't turned the thing off yet. And he's like, I'm going to make it. And he's like, running. And then his head blows up like a bag.
Like scanners. Yes. Is that the movie?
Yes, it is exactly like that. It's like a watermelon that they just shoved craft services into. Like whatever we got left over from lunch, put it in this bag.
It's like a hefty bag of soup landed on the pavement.
Yes. It's so incredibly hilarious. And I know that makes me sound like a demented weirdo, but obviously this is very fake looking. And so he's just like mid-stride across the field, and then suddenly, and then just head bits everywhere. Mm-hmm. And everyone has to act like shocked. Yeah. But while head bits are coming and raining on them.
Okay, here's the thing that I was annoyed with, was that the grid did go down. And then all of a sudden it wasn't down, but there was no acknowledgement that it went back up until the guys took off against the fence. And there was no explanation of why it didn't stay down.
Well, he was trying to use like some shiesty computer and he couldn't get it to, he couldn't finish the program.
No, he did finish. If you go back, you watch, he finishes it, it goes green and says, like, field disabled. And then everything goes, all the lights go green and he takes off running. And then all of a sudden they're not green and everyone's like, don't run, it's not finished. And I was like, when did that happen? Happened because I just watched it finish. There's like no continuity going on.
I don't remember that, but I'll take your word for it. But I really like that. The other thing I really liked is that the soldiers are all wearing baseball helmets.
Yeah, they are.
They're not even cut. They left the ear flap on one side and not the other.
It looks like in the Hunger Games movies, their military force,
mm-hmm.
if those costumes were black and gray instead of white, it's the same costume.
Absolutely.
And it is literally the only futuristic element to this movie in terms of clothing, which bothered me. Because I'm like, if it's supposed to be this grand, fantastic future, like, why does no one look, like, weird and, like, futuristic, quirky?
Right. They didn't do any weird future clothes, which is always a fun part of
the jumpsuit. Or classic jumpsuit.
Some funky color.
Mm-hmm.
Some weird,
like, metallic patterns.
Too many buttons.
Yeah.
Not enough buttons.
Buttons that don't do anything. They just make weird lines and shapes. Like,
zippers to nowhere.
Zippers to nowhere.
No, it is absolutely just 1987 in terms of clothes. Like, according to the logic of this movie universe, we just stopped in 1987. We're like, good enough.
This is the best clothes are ever gonna look.
And we're just gonna work on making sure that no one has any food to eat and our whole lives are controlled by corporations.
We're gonna drop pellets of, like, communion wafers as food sustenance down onto the people.
We also get a this is our first returning person, I believe, on the show.
Is it?
Yeah, we have Jesse the Body Ventura.
Who's he in the movie?
He is the trainer of the retired trainer of the super macho.
Oh, super American Captain Gliders, America, pretty much, whatever his name was. Yeah.
The Hall of Fame mustache.
Captain Patriot?
Yeah, Captain Patriot, I believe, is the name of the character, but it's something very akin to that. But he was in our No Hold Bar doing his announcing thing, and now he's back here.
Isn't he also a governor?
He was a governor.
Okay, I was going to say, you said this was a two-governor film.
This is a two-governor film. That's right.
Two governors way up.
So, we have a lot of people talking in this movie, and not a single one of them speaks English without an accent.
Yeah, none of these people is their first language English.
It doesn't seem that way. And I'm pretty sure Jesse the Body Ventura is born here, but he talks really strangely the whole time.
It's like he's had a stroke, but he's like there's fishing line holding up the bad side of his face is the way he talks. Like, he's really fighting against something that's like, you can't, like, it's as if someone's holding his cheeks down and he's like, I need to move them so I can talk.
Which
is a completely visual bit that I apologize for, podcast listeners.
But he has you started doing that after I did that bad impression of him, but even to do the impression I have to overmove my face muscles, and he, when he talks, looks like he's struggling to get the words out. Like, he's fighting with everything he's got to get the words out of his mouth.
Yeah.
It's very odd looking. I don't understand.
Like Edgar from Men in Black.
Yes, yes. And this is supposed to be a human being and not an alien. So, the bit here is he gets out of this labor camp and he goes to take this woman hostage. And we do get
He goes to the labor camp and they don't want to free... This is the first instance of no one likes Arnold because he's been pinned for this murder. Because they don't want to take off his explosion collar. Which, theoretically, isn't going to work outside of the field anyways, so...
I think they're saying, well, maybe they could turn it back on and just kill him as he's, like, strolling down the street casually.
That's true. So they're like, the black guy's like, why don't you come with us and you can fight for our cause? And he's like, no, I have a brother who's going to get me out of the city. And you're like, well, you're out of the city already, so where are you going?
Are you going back into the city to get back out? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, no, not at all. So he jumps on, like, essentially, like, an illegal immigrant convoy.
Yes.
And, like, drives to the city to his brother's apartment.
That he breaks into.
I wouldn't call it breaking in. Like, it's like if you were like, hey, Andrew, I left this spare key in this place in case you ever need to come to my apartment, and you're locked out. I'm like, okay, you know I'm coming, Trip, but you're not home. I'm just going to use your key, let myself in. I wouldn't call it breaking in.
I suppose. But this is the one part of the movie one of the few parts of the movie, I should say, that does seem futuristic. The apartment interior design is fairly futuristic.
It's very much like the last scene in the Carousel of Progress at Disney World.
There's a lot of, like, space doohickeys. Yeah.
Doors are, like,
sliding in and out, just wildly impractical.
Mm-hmm. She says, lights to turn on the lights and, like, toast and coffee. Like, that's where they started to get... I'm like, okay, we got the future. Nothing else.
No.
That's it.
Very little. And her name, I believe,
Amber Mendez.
Wow. You studied this one.
Only a little, because I think that name is also in the movie Machete Kills Again, or Machete Strikes Again, or whatever.
Oh. From Machete 2, or Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, whatever that one's called. With Sofia Vergara. Yes.
Did you see that?
Yeah. It was on Netflix. It was hilarious.
Oh, I didn't know it was on Netflix. I saw the first one.
It was for a while.
So he
breaks into the apartment or lets himself in, and then Amber Mendez shows up and, like, does some workout or whatever.
It's a very strange contraption that she's working on.
It is. Also, I hate her voice. Like, it's like a weird, like, trying to compensate. Like, it's like Sofia Vergara is like, you know what, this is my voice, this is what it sounds like, and I accept that, and, like, I'm into that, I'm on board.
Right.
This woman's like, I am fighting my accent, and you're like, just stop.
And that is why I wrote that note down about people putting on accident English, because the conversations are like, please help me.
No, I will not help you.
But you need to do it, I was wrongfully accused.
I don't trust you.
There's no reason for you to do that. I broke in here. But trust me, I will help you.
I am a composer for the network.
I am Ben Richards. I'm wrongfully accused.
Help me.
And that's what this movie sounds like for the rest of it, because they're inseparable from this point forward.
Also, you never see them fall in love. The movie just tells you they did.
It just...
I was like, by the end when they kiss, and I'm like, when did that happen? At no point did she become anything more than a squealing shrew harpy, and did he become a useless muscle man.
But so he kidnaps her and makes her help him, and he's going to use her ID to get across. And this is my favorite part of this movie, hands down.
Before I watched the movie, you had said, okay, before you watch... I've watched it already. If you're Arnold Schwarzenegger and you're trying to sneak through an airport, what are you going to do? How are you going to do it? Like, what's your disguise? And I was like, so we're talking like big, like Arnold, like Mr. Universe. And you said, yes. And I said, my answer was, I would put on a big black furry hat and a red coat with a golden sickle and hammer on the back and fake a shitty Russian accent. Because no one's really going to question that.
It's true. It is pretty good. Although this was height of Cold War, that probably would have raised an eyebrow or two.
I mean, yeah, but no, because this is 2017, not the Cold War.
That's true. You're right.
You're
right. But what instead they do is Arnold puts on the largest Hawaiian shirt in the history of fabric.
Like, bigger John Lasseter, look out. Arnold's coming for you.
It's like three human beings. You could put this Hawaiian shirt comfortably around a 60-inch television.
Yeah.
And button it. Yes. And button it closed.
It would be fine.
It would hang like this. That and a hat.
And white pants. It looks like the cover of Twins.
He looks like this.
This happened, and they were like, wait a minute, that could be a movie poster. Danny DeVito, get in here.
It is so the opposite of inconspicuous. It is completely spicuous. Conspicuous.
Well, because, and his idea is that, like, in this future world, you need a special scanning passport or whatever. So he takes hers and scans it. Why it's not linked to her name or any information about her, I don't know.
No, it just...
That seems foolish. It's like a passport.
Thumbs up or thumbs down.
It's like a passport with no picture and no name.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm allowed to leave. And you're like, cool.
Yeah.
So they scan his, and he's like, I need to scan hers too. And he's like, rifles through her purse. And he's like, we couldn't find anything in here. We left our travel passes in here last week. We couldn't find them for 2 months. And you're like, and then because people started screaming and being like, would you hurry up? There's a flight to catch. Airport security was like, you know what? Just get out of here. And I wish that was like the lowbrow bullshit we had to deal with now. Because I flew 2 weeks ago and it was the biggest madhouse of like getting through airport security. If it was just like, if all I had to do was complain and that's what we're going to go through faster, sold.
Yeah, it takes him 5 seconds to illegally get through. Meanwhile, legally, I try to air travel. It takes a 4-hour journey.
Well, and his excuse brought, like, PTSD flashbacks of working at Disney World. And people are like, oh, I can't find my ticket for the Fast Pass. And I'm like, then you're not coming in. Get out.
Another thing Arnold looks like, it looks like you put a Hawaiian shirt on the thing.
Yes.
Like, he does the trench coat and the hat to hide it.
Yes.
He looks like you put a Hawaiian shirt on the thing.
Twins.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm skipping around here a bunch, but they start at this point to show you some of the games they play on television, and there's like an array of like what they show.
Climb Don't Die was one of them or something like
Climbing
that.
Climbing for Dollars. Where they literally light the rope on fire.
No, it's dogs.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
You are like a gym class big ass rope with no knots in it.
It's your standard big ass rope.
Yeah, that you've seen. I say big ass rope in a movie and you're like, got it, that one.
Yeah.
You climb that as there is like out of what looks like a cage match with barbed wire, and there's a bunch of dogs in there. And that's it.
And it's like two people competing against each other.
No, I think it's just one. It's literally one man climbing a rope as like stacks of bills, and he has to hold them while still climbing.
And if you fall, you die.
Yeah, that's the game.
The dog's death, and that's the end of it. I would 100% watch that show.
I might. I would feel bad about it. Like, I would bootleg it and like pretend I didn't watch it.
You don't want it on your cable.
Yeah, no, I don't want it. Or like in my history, like, yeah. I would like incognito browsing do that.
Yeah.
And then people will talk about it. I'm like, oh my god, no. But did you talk about Downton Abbey last week? Like, oh my god, no, that show was great.
That dude got eaten. That was amazing.
He only got $200.
So Dawson comes back, seen him a couple times now, and at this point I write down, if Dawson doesn't attempt an inappropriate kiss, I'm gonna lose my shit. Immediately afterwards, we get our first Dawson inappropriate kiss.
Yes, Dawson. Get it, Dawson. Yes.
Where he basically tries to stick his tongue down the throat of some poor, unsuspecting woman.
Mm-hmm. And this is also where I think we get our first glimpse of the the Running Man dancers.
Yep.
Who are, they're dressed futuristically. I'll give them that. But they're also wearing what are referred to as character shoes in the theater world.
Meaning?
They are shoes that if you're going to be an actress, you should buy these shoes because you will wear them in almost every show because they go with every time period ever. From like 1901 to like today, you can wear these basic heels.
Okay.
So they're all just spray painted silver. So they're all theater girls. These are all actresses who probably got degrees. This is art. This is art. This is art. While they dance Paula Abdul choreography. That's not a joke. That is a fact. Paula Abdul choreographed this movie.
Yep. Yes, she did. Because this movie had a budget of $27 million.
Throwback to Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's the same style of dancing.
At this point, we realize that Arnold is loose.
Yes.
The bad guys have caught him back, and they're going to put him into the Running Man, which is the game.
Because they have him, Amber does something, like he gets caught.
Yeah.
And then Richard Dawson gets him and is like, I pulled strings to get you here because you're a military prisoner. And it's this weird, like, I feel like the joke would be a lot funnier if it was explained in any way of, like, how things work. They're like, call the Justice Department and have them ship over the military prisoner. And, like, that would be a funny joke if I understood the government in this world, but I don't because I'd live today. this joke about the justice system and like your court-appointed talent agent, probably funny if you understand what's going on, but there's no background.
That's a good point. It's relatively funny if you think about it in terms of our world, like court appointed a talent agent instead of court appointed an attorney, but they play in a completely different universe because it's 30 years
earlier
in the future from 1987, so yeah. It's complete gibberish.
It's gobbledygook. That's why, because he was like, I pulled special strings to get you here, and he's like, this movie had a lot of F-bombs also, was what I noted.
It's
a lot.
Sweary.
And I was like, wow. Because he says, Arnold's response is, fuck you, when he wants him to play, and he pulls up his two buddies who helped him escape, the nerdy guy and the black guy.
Laughlin and Weiss.
Thank you. And he's like, well, if you don't, also, so verbose, this movie. Like, I was like, you know what you can say that's just as, like, he's like, if you don't go into the games tomorrow, your friends Laughlin and Weiss will go into the games in your place, and they won't fare very well. And I was like,
you don't even have to say they won't fare very well.
Just
I think it's implied.
You could just say, if you don't play tomorrow, they do, period. Done. That's it. The line's just as kind of imposing.
It's true.
Without the stupid.
Well, you had to get up to 101 minutes. You had to go. You had to break the 100 minute barrier. So
we had to
get it up there. Otherwise, you feel like they're getting ripped off.
They're
paying their $6.
Fight choreo. Richard Dawson talking does not have to be the selling point of this movie. Just FYI.
When people plunk down, there's $6 and there are additional $2 for Raisinets. They're not here for Arnold. They're here for Dawson dialogue.
Dawson's brilliance.
They want to hear him.
Was it $6?
Yammering on and on.
It feels
I'm making
that
up. I have no idea.
Because all I remember is The Blob when they're like, you made me lose my 25 cents for tickets.
That was like the 50s.
That was the 60s, wasn't it?
The Blob came out in 1958.
Well, then. The markup rate is insane on movie tickets.
This has been an unnecessary aside.
This has been... That was a train whistle sound. Derailed.
So Arnold gets launched into the Running Man.
No,
and at this point...
No, what we got to reveal. The reveal that everyone saw coming.
Yes.
Because
yes,
he was like, if you don't play, they will. So he's like, fine, I'll do it. I'll save their lives. So
put me in the game. I just screwed up. Sorry.
Damn it.
I'm sorry.
My moment.
Sorry.
So they have... They're walking him in his prison jumpsuit as his court-appointed talent agent is talking to him through the contract, and Amber sees him walk down, and she gets flustered, which I guess means they've fallen in love, or
yes,
they're falling in love. So then she goes to do something, and they put him in what looks like an Aquaman jumpsuit.
Yep.
Like on Netflix, you know how they show the, like... still image of the movie is like they're like, well, this is the Running Man. It's an image of Arnold in the jumpsuit, which is like this heinous shade of yellow, and it looks like he's Aquaman.
Yes.
So that's what I was like. Is
also
a-
Wolverine.
Ooh, that's a good one too. So they bring him in or whatever, and I love this, the pen stab. That was one of my favorites.
That was a great gag.
He signs the contract on his talent agent's back, and then to dot his I, he stabs it into his back with such force that it doesn't fall out when the guy stands up, which implies something horrible about this man. Like, we should not want this man out on the streets.
No, he may not have murdered his people, but he's
still an asshole.
Yeah, huge asshole.
So they bring him out. They put him in the, like, the bobsled luge.
We don't know what it is yet, but it's just this bobsled car thing that they have sitting and ready. They strap him in.
And then it's like a bobsled cage comes down around him. And then Dawson's like, we wouldn't want you to be in there alone. And I was like, oh, God, of course. And they reveal that Laughlin and Weiss are there going into the games, too.
They're going to be luging alongside them.
Like, what?
But we also get Arnold this early in his career just being like, I'll just say whatever the fuck you want me to say.
Whatever.
I'll be back. There, I fucking said it, okay? Can we just move on?
As soon as I was like, oh, God, poor Arnold was like, I'll be over it.
just pay me. Just pay me.
Give me a paycheck.
Where's craft services? I'll say whatever you want.
So they all get launched into the games through, like, a horrifying spark tunnel.
Yes. And the cars really move. Like, terrible. To the point whipping. Of you would be severely injured by the time it ended.
Your neck would snap.
Yes.
Because all that catches you is, like, that weird orange wide mesh that they have around construction sites.
Yeah. It sort of catches it like a slingshot.
Yeah. And then people come out and let you go.
Yeah.
So we're trusting these random, like, ruffians who are dressed like Mad Max to let you out of this?
Yeah. Instead of just murdering you in it.
Yeah.
And eating you.
So they all three get out and they start running through the game is horribly explained in the movie, by the way.
By horribly explained, you mean literally not explained at all ever at any point.
The explanation we get is that there are four quadrants that they're in and they have to run through all four quadrants and make it to the fourth one.
Yep.
In a day, I think? In 3 days? Was there a time limit in the movie? Because the book had a time limit.
I don't remember a time limit.
Yeah, and all the while not dying.
Yep.
And if they make it to the end, then they can get something. It could be like a full pardon or
you get a full pardon.
A sentence lightening. Like, it depends. Like, I think the idea was that you, like, spun a root like a wheel, like at Bob's Burgers.
Yes.
And you spin the wheel and all the prizes. One of them, the tiny little thin one.
Is get out of jail
the donate
free.
To charity slice.
Yes.
Is get out of jail free.
Yes.
Because they show you the past winners, and they're in paradise and happy because they've won.
Drinking Mai Tais on the beach. So they have these video cards sort of explain the plot, which is pretty cool for 1987 technology.
Yeah.
Pretty forward thinking. It's about the size of a current smartphone, maybe closer to a tablet, but they're pretty cool for that. And we get our first area of fighting, which is frozen landscape for no reason.
I mean, yeah. It's this whole, like, I wish there was most movies today that have some sort of weird, unknown thing. Take a minute to explain the thing so that you're not just like, wait, why are they here now?
Yeah, and what's happening?
Like, where's next? What? Why is
why
this the natural order of things?
Who? What?
What is happening?
So Arnold can see his breath, and you're like, must be cold.
I guess it's cold now. Okay.
And then, do they play a hockey horn at that point?
I don't think they did.
But you start to realize, oh, he's on a hockey rink.
Yes, but what I loved was they were walking just fine, perfectly fine, until you saw the Batman and Robin henchmen, and then all of a sudden, it's a damn slip and slide.
Everybody's falling all over themselves.
I was like, you were walking fine. What happened? Did you like, oh, I'm on ice now. I guess I'm slipping. Like, what?
And the guy comes running out and swings what is clearly 100% a goalie stick.
Oh, it was supposed to be.
Because
he's hockey themed.
Yes. And we realize we're on a hockey rink. And
his name is Sub-Zero.
And he's wearing goalie pads.
Not as awesome as the other Sub-Zero from... I think... No, because the other Sub-Zero has actual ice powers.
But this guy's dressed like a goalie.
And is defeated by barbed wire.
But he's dressed like a goalie.
My vote is for Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero. Hashtag Mortal Kombat Sub-Zero.
At that point, I wrote, I'm now in love. He's wearing hockey pads.
How did you not, like, from his first entrance,
I said, that's a goalie stick. And then later, oh my God, it's a hockey rink. I'm in love. He's wearing pads.
Yeah, like, the whole, like, hockey thing. As soon as he came out, I was like, oh, got it. Sub-Zero, big, like, scythe hockey stick that can apparently slice through a gong.
Literally anything.
I don't know. It was ridiculous. But not anything, because there were things that it was, like, it didn't go through. Weirdly. It was one of those weird, like, movie laws where the villain, like, weapon will cut through anything except the broomstick that their hero is holding for some reason.
Right, right. So then Sub-Zero becomes Plane Zero.
Oh, that was the worst joke. I was like, if we're going to have him give some puns, like, make him good puns.
I kind of like that.
I hated that one. They got White. I almost said Wesley because that's a nerdy name. They got Weiss out of the, like, Venus flytrap goalie, the goal post or whatever, the goal net, whatever.
The goal. Or the net, but not a goal net.
A goal net.
Nope.
Score a hoop net in the goal post.
Both of those words are right, but when you put them together, it's completely wrong.
Gotcha.
We get to the next guy, and he comes out with a chainsaw.
Well, no, this is when Amber gets dropped into the game.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Because they caught her.
Right.
She found the unedited Bakersfield massacre footage, which is the massacre that they pinned on Richard Dawson? No, Ben Richards.
Ben Richards.
I was like, Richards isn't there somewhere.
Ben Richards? Richard Dawson. Best movie ever.
Yes. For some reason, they kept the raw, unedited footage.
Yeah. They decided... You
and
know
labeled it.
Yep. We're going to not only make sure this is available, we're going to catalog it.
Yeah. I was like, why isn't this like under like Richard Dawson's like bed? Like in a shoebox?
Why isn't it just set on fire?
I agree. But why is it, like, if you're going to keep it, why label it and keep it with all the other records?
I don't know. It doesn't make a lick of sense.
It was so dumb.
It's colossally stupid.
And somehow she held on to it.
Well, she's here.
That was a look. You can't see it because this is a podcast, but I just gave him a scathing look.
That is the classic 3 seconds of silence, which is so good.
For a video, for audio medium. Podcasting.
3 seconds of silence is what you want.
So then, they get in there and they release, because... Okay, so in this world, mm-hmm. are we saying that stalkers have never died?
That's what they want you to believe.
Okay, because I was trying to figure out, I was like...
The first time a stalker dies is when he kills Sub-Zero.
Like, ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane to me. Like, there's no way that...
The other guys apparently just got through the gauntlet. They didn't kill anybody.
Oh, got it. Okay, fair enough then. Because they're like, well, since he killed one, we got to send in two guys.
Right.
The Electric Light Parade and your local hardware store.
Buzzsaw has a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm. And not a buzzsaw.
Nope.
Does not have a buzzsaw.
But you know that one's ending poorly from the jump.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get cut up with that thing or something
exactly.
like that.
Exactly. And then someone named Dynamo.
Who is?
Is that Meatloaf?
No. But who is?
The Electric Light Parade. That's what
who
I call him.
Who is?
I got nothing.
As a profession?
A singer? An opera singer?
Yes. That's what I yeah. wanted you to say.
Oh. I was like, you got a fat, like, effeminate dude but singing opera.
We start with goalie in goalie gear. Fairly intimidating looking thing.
Sure.
Then we got Captain Chainsaw.
Okay, yeah. On board.
Opera singer wearing a Tron outfit?
Yes. Why is his name... they said his name was Dynamo. And I was like, oh, he's got dynamite.
Nope.
He's going to blow shit up.
Nope. He's just a dynamo. He's a dynamo. He's things like great.
I was like, what? His name should be Electro, not Dynamo.
That was already taken. Copyright Marvel.
Electronico. But like, because he literally came out, sang something. I was like, this literally looks like Meatloaf had a really hard couple of years.
Yep.
And then cosplayed as Disney's Main Street Electrical Parade.
So Arnold dispatches both of these guys in spectacular fashion.
Oh, yeah. Because it's Laughlin and Schwarzenegger dealing with Buzzsaw. And it's Amber and Weiss dealing with Electric Light Parade while also trying to get the network uplink codes.
They're basically going to take the raw footage that proves his innocence and...
No, this is before that. This is... They just want the access.
Oh, that's right.
They don't
right.
know what they're going to do with it,
yeah,
but they want the
right.
access
okay.
codes.
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Because it's one of those, like, classic movie jargon things that, like, when you really think about it, doesn't make any sense.
Not a
like,
lick of sense.
I have the uplink codes for the satellite dish. Like, what?
Huh?
So how do you get into this? How do you...
And what do we do once you have that?
Like, what happens next? Can you just anywhere? You can log in from anywhere?
But then what? We're still in here.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Also, how did these people get into this games arena?
No
because
idea.
There, apparently there's like a resistance force that lives in the fourth quadrant.
Yes.
What?
And there's a rumor that they exist that people know about, but they've never actually proven their existence. So how that rumor even existed, I don't know.
So why they don't just torch the entire arena, burn it down, and start somewhere
yep.
new?
Pull your superheroes out, your American Gladiators out, and then just burn it down.
Burn it to the ground.
Yep.
Done.
New, and just use the burned out husk as your arena from then on.
Perfect.
It's not like anyone will notice.
Yeah, it'll be
it's
great.
It's already a wasteland.
It's great.
So... At this point, they start trying to cast aspersions on our lady friend. They start airing packages on the TV and telling everyone how evil she is. And one of the lines that killed me, I thought was just fantastic, is, she had two, sometimes even three lovers in a single year.
I was like, it's a slow year.
That's not a lot. That seems like...
a decent amount.
Seems like fairly standard for a person who's not in a relationship. They're
yeah.
just trying to try find somebody to marry.
What's going on?
Yep. If you had said 200, 300, I'd be like, well, that's yeah. a lot of work to be
or
done.
Or like one night. Stands like specify that it like clearly wasn't
but
like trying to
then.
Find love but like if you're trying to like say she's a whore for whatever
you're trying
reason
to slut shame her
yeah
or whatever.
Trying to slut shame her at least make it like actual slut shaming not just like
yeah.
she had three sexual partners in a year which probably still lets you donate blood like if we're being honest that probably still lets you donate blood
well I'm three isn't even that big of a number that's not even one per season
no that's not that is every 4 months you had three 4 month relationships
yeah would
sure
that seems like a perfectly. I just was flabbergasted that that was like the
how they decided to sell that.
Yeah, that like I was expecting 20 or 30 to be the number, even like some preposterous number like 100 lovers in a single year. Mm. Which again, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying in the movie should be trying to shame her with a preposterous number, not a what seems fairly innocuous. Number. Yes. And that's in the middle of the fight, because then we have the chainsaw dirt bike fight.
Oh, my God.
Which is one of my favorite fights in action movie ever.
It's fantastic.
Arnold has managed to get the chainsaw, mm-hmm. and the bad guy has now a dirt bike.
No, he's had the dirt bike. That's his mode of transportation.
But that's his only weapon.
Because, like, you know, in, like Ninja Turtles, how all the villains had their own special, specific way of moving around, and it was like, I've got a motorcycle, I've got a big tank, I've got a tiny car. It was like, Buzzsaw had his, oh my God, brain fart.
Take your time.
Buzzsaw had his bike. Hockey Man had ice skates.
Yep.
What's His Face had a weird tumbler car. But like,
it was very much like a tumbler.
Yeah, a tumbler car. And then one guy has a jetpack.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think it felt like it was very much like, so we got some toys we need to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's make a movie around that.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got.
But then they made an R-rated movie that no child would ever be able to see.
Oh, and probably they didn't do any toys for that movie.
No, there's no way there was.
I mean, I would have bought one, I feel like.
Oh, sure. I would have all of these. They're delightful.
Well, he would light up. You know Dynamo would actually light
Absolutely
up.
Absolutely he would light up.
Mm-hmm.
You push a button and he sings an opera song.
And it's just, his light flash?
Yeah, all amazing.
Perfect.
All things that I want. But then we get my favorite death of the movie, which I call the dick saw.
Again, makes no real sense if you look at it and go, why did this happen this way? How did that happen?
What do you mean?
How the hell did this man let the chainsaw, because they're doing the like classic like goes a little this way, goes a little that way. So it's like an arm wrestle with a chainsaw.
Right.
Somehow it gets completely turned like a almost 360 pretty much.
Yeah.
Into between his legs, and yep. he doesn't think to just let go and jump back, or like how did you let this happen?
He
so
thinks
far?
He's stronger than Arnold.
I guess.
Classic bad guy hubris.
Oh, I guess yeah.
And then he gets cut in half from dick to neck.
Yeah, not even. It's literally just like a little bit in, up to the dick.
I guess, it's but like, you would bleed out pretty much instantaneously.
I was just surprised that like head exploding movie was like not going to go the full
like,
Monty.
Full like split down the middle. Dude.
Yeah, I was like, you exploded a head. At least give me a little more than just like up, like a little up the taint.
I think the problem with that would have been Arnold would have been literally covered in blood. And the rest of the movie, he would be disgusting looking.
Have him walk through a rainstorm. I don't care.
Like to set that up. As an effect, you'd have to have just blood splattering and spraying everywhere, and he just would have been covered like what's that Peter Jackson
Carrie?
Movie? Carrie is a good example.
Braindead?
Yeah,
Dead Alive.
Yeah, where he does the lawnmower and runs through all the zombies. That's what. I found Opera Guy to be underwhelming after that.
God, but even in general, based on everything we've seen, I was like, your power is singing and electricity for some reason.
Yeah, it doesn't really make a whole lot of comment. Like, two, I don't get together.
Well, also, how did you get this job as a stalker? Like, who did you blow to get here?
Apparently, like, Richard Dawson.
I'm good with a chainsaw and I'm strong. I can
Done.
Ice
check.
Skate and I have a giant scythe.
Done. Check.
I have a flamethrower.
Done.
I'm a strong ass man and can like I'm charismatic. Sure.
Sure. I'll take it.
I'm fat and slovenly out of shape, can only travel by car practically, and I like to dress up.
He sort of has to use it as a moped.
It's basically he's on an ECV, an electronic convenience vehicle. Like the stupid like get around the grocery store things. That's what this is to him. Well, he's wrapped in Christmas lights.
Well, let me look at this application a little further here, Mr. was it Dynamo?
Dynamo, yes.
Okay. It says here that your previous job experience was at the Sydney Opera House?
It was, yes.
Yes! Tell me a little bit about how you got that job.
You know, just audition, hitting that pavement, you know, working the streets. God, I hope I get it!
Yeah, and then, I guess what I'm confused about is the other part of the application here that says list your relevant attributes to the game, which, as you know, is about murdering. And
a murder game.
Yeah, yep, it's a murder game. Thanks. You left that section blank. And frankly, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure how you made it through the screening process to get to me, because I am the last line. But I'm curious as to what your answer is going to be to this question. You left it blank.
I have a very shiny suit.
Could you hold on 1 second?
Yes.
I'm getting word. My phone's ringing here. I have to take this call. Hold on. They're all dead. Yeah, all of them? Really? That's a damn shame. Yeah, no, I think I can take care of it. Yep, okay, thanks. Goodbye. So you're hired.
Oh, that was lovely.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah, you're hired. Go down the hallway, room 4F. It's on your right, and they'll get you a suit.
Great. Yep. Perfect. Great.
Thanks.
La.
Good luck, Mr. Dynamo.
See, I don't understand how that fucking man made it through. He can't move, and he's like the, you know, in every movie how like the sidekick of the bully is always infinitely more infuriating than the bully itself.
Absolutely.
Like, you have no power here. We all know it. You're useless. That was him. He was just the sidekick to the bully that I was like, shut up.
We don't care. Just get killed so we can move on.
And they didn't even kill him in the arena.
Nope.
His car flipped over. Should have broken. His head should have been like off, like nearly headless neck. Just like head off.
Yeah.
And he's like, I lost power. Go to commercial. Go to commercial. And I was like, that's not been a thing at all in this movie.
Not once.
Not been an established like universe thing. So what? What? How did you get here? Were you briefed at all in how to be a stalker?
To the top.
Jesus.
Then we get a little of our classic, one of our favorites on this show, your old lady cursing.
Oh my god, the old ladies in this movie, their old lady budget was spent very well.
There is some classic old ladies on this.
Even the ones that just like, they pay into the crowd and they're like screaming and shaking their fists like, get them, Dynamo!
Yeah.
Like, great, I love these, they're great old ladies.
Yeah, Richard Dawson is doing some crowd work and he's like, ah, how are you folks thinking about this Ben Richards in here?
They do, it's this sort of like weird audience participation aspect of the show where like they'll bring someone out and they're like, who do you want to, like, what stalker should we send out next, and the person will pick one and then they get prizes for picking
I believe they get prizes if their person gets the kill. I think that's how that works.
No, because everyone ended up getting prizes.
Oh really?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the game
it was
was
like
to be...
it was like sort of like a lucky participant, like they pull you out of the scene like sense, come on down, which they said at one point in the movie.
They did
and so they guess they were like realizing that they're kind of losing the audience because Schwarzenegger's winning the game that no one's supposed to win,
right? He's kicking ass, taking names.
So he's like, who do you think is going to make the next kill? And she's like, I think Ben Richards will make the next kill. And he's like, he's a runner. You have to pick a stalker. And she's like, I'll pick whoever I want. He's a badass. And like triumphantly like shakes her fist or whatever. And like the audience is like, oh, no, she's right. Yeah, no, totally.
Woo,
yeah.
Ben Richards!
And the tides are turning.
Yep, that's the classic tides are turning. So at this point, we have another long, long segment with our pal, Ben Richards, and his lady friend.
Oh my god, just shut up.
I literally wrote, I can't understand this actress at all. Please shut up. Please just stop talking.
She's basically what's-her-face from the Indiana Jones movie with Short Round.
Stay tuned, perhaps, for Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Stay tuned.
All she is she's just like, no, Ben, I cannot run anymore.
Shut
I'm
up.
I'm out of breath.
I'm running here. Shut up.
And like,
stop
even
talking.
Even moments when they're hiding from someone.
Shut up.
She's just like, Ben, what are you doing? And you're like, shh.
These puns aren't going to think of themselves. Shut up.
I'm like, the man with a murder weapon is 10 feet from you. Shut up and stay quiet. You know where you are.
She's such a freaking nightmare.
You're a completely aware you're in the murder zone. Like, shut up. I will kill you. If I was Ben Richards, I would just kill you.
Yes. It would.
Push.
Yeah. So, Richards has killed three guys, and Dawson needs to send in the big guns.
No, he's killed two.
Two, well, the hopper guys, maybe.
What?
He killed both.
The opera guy, because what happened, the opera guy flips over, and then he's like, I won't kill someone without the weapon, and like, stab something near him and walks
well,
away.
Well, he kills two guys and decommissions the third, let's call it that. So they need to go to the big guns. They need to call in Jesse the Body Ventura.
No.
Yeah.
They need to call in Flamethrower.
Did I skip a guy?
Yeah, Flamethrower's
next.
Oh,
I skipped a guy. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I called him Candyman because he looks like the Candyman.
He does. He does.
His power is Flamethrowers and Jetpack Flamethrowers, which probably the coolest power that I've seen in the game.
Also extremely explosive.
Yes.
All of
100%.
He is a human bomb.
Yes. Then this is where we find out, like, I guess this reveal probably was supposed to be, like, crazy and, like, bum, 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 but not at all, given everything else that's happened. When, like, Amber's running from Flamethrower Guy into a room where she three charred bodies, and she instantly recognizes them as past winners.
Yes.
Somehow.
Without, there's no suits on them. There's no identity.
Oh, someone has dog tags, I
think. Yeah, yeah. But they're just skeletons. It's not even like a charred corpse. It's a skeleton, practically.
And, like, it's like they got the gross, like, there's no lips at all. And,
yeah.
And she's like, these are the past winners. And then Flamethrower Guy goes, it's like, you mean losers. And then, like, is ready to, like, flamethrower her.
Yeah.
And Schwarzenegger swoops in in and does something, I guess. Kicks a pipe.
Yeah.
It's real like vague.
It's super contrived.
Yeah.
And he ends up squirting his lighter fluid all over himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, he like kicks out. It's like in when they kick Bane's like hose thing. Uh-huh. He's like, blah, blah, blah. So he's like flailing all around. He grabs Amber, runs out, pulls out a flare. Where did he get the flare? No one knows.
I always have a flare.
And he threw it in the room and he exploded.
I always have at least one piece of flare.
Need at least 30 pieces of flare.
Just one flare.
I should probably have at least 30. So then they're running and they get trapped, and you're like, God, again with the trapping.
So many cat and mouse issues.
It's literally like they're a human game of mouse trap.
Just more and more elaborate ways to kill you. Just shoot them at this point. Like, okay, we lose, we're just gonna kill them. We're gonna drop a bomb on it, or we're gonna send in a tank or something preposterous.
And it's so there was that reveal of the how things were, like, that wasn't crazy at all. In this universe, yeah, that makes sense. They would pretend winners won.
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, we're going to have to send in the big guns. And you're like, oh, pulling the guy out of retirement. Things are going to get crazy.
Yep.
So they're like flipping back and forth between talking to the guy in retirement, and then Schwarzenegger and Amber are talking to the head of the resistance, who for some reason lives in the game.
Yep.
I don't know why people are allowed in there.
I don't think anyone's allowed in there. I think he's like hiding in there.
Oh, that's true.
That's supposed to be his big, he's, you know, sneaking around.
That's true. And he, all of a sudden, Amber and Schwarzenegger are dropped from like a McDonald playhouse slide into a...
I think you left out something that we need to make sure we touch on.
What?
The leader of the resistance is none other than Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I think we need to make sure we don't skip the fact that Mick Fleetwood plays the leader of the resistance, whose name is, in the film, Mick.
Okay.
Just want to make sure we touch that.
Stevie wasn't there, though, so I'm not interested.
Well.
She was too busy fixing her nose.
And by that, you mean mountains of cocaine.
No, I mean fixing the fact that she had no nose anymore. I meant what I said.
Mountains of cocaine.
So they're like, well, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And they're like hinting at things that aren't really making sense, like the weird computer technology they have to like put someone's face on something else. And I was like, oh, are they just pulling out old footage and going to like pretend that it's Schwarzenegger? Because Amber and him, it is literally Amber and Schwarzenegger playhouse sliding into a wrestling ring.
Yes.
And he instantly snaps Amber's neck. And I was like, what the heck? when did they get out of the resistance chamber and into this playhouse slide? And she's dead. I'm into it because she's dead now. And won't talk anymore.
She's literally been a nightmare this whole movie.
First great thing that's happened on movie. And then Arnold and him fight, and they switch to Amber and Schwarzenegger watching this in the resistance chamber. And I was like, it was really poorly plotted out. Like, it's just a headache now. It's just a headache.
But they apparently have technology to be able to fake. They stuck Arnold's head under a different guy's body.
Body change.
And no one noticed that it's identical to a previous murder that happened.
Mm-hmm. And so like, he gets murdered, and they're like, yeah, whatever. And she's like, oh, thank goodness, we can go whatever we want, do whatever we want. And he's, that's Italian. That was weird, like, 50s Italian greaser, and yes. I apologize.
But the other thing we need to make sure we touch on here is that Jesse the Body Ventura in this scene looks like a child cardboard box robot. He's dressed like...
He's covered in silver squares.
Yeah.
He's like, this is stupid.
It's a half a step up from the accordion folder arm things for your dryer.
Oh, the dryer tubing.
Yeah.
The metal tubing.
Yeah, it's a quarter of a step up from that.
I feel like what they did was they just filmed the conversation he had with the director and the costume designer, being like, this is stupid. I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm over this.
Yeah, I give me my paycheck. I'm going home.
So they filmed them dying, and then Schwarzenegger's like, you idiot. They won't let us leave now because they heard us dying. And you're like, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. So what are they going to do now?
Yeah.
Somehow Arnold's like, no, I need to lead this resistance movement. Let's go back to Richard Dawson. And you're like, how? You luged what seemed to be several hundred miles.
So long. The luge scene, we didn't talk about this, but the luge scene is several minutes of luging.
And that thing is rocketing.
It's like, literally rocketing. It's so, got a rocket on the back.
So they're clearly several hundred miles from Richard Dawson.
Yes.
So how are they getting back there
and
so fast?
And they've been traveling presumably away from where they started to get further along in the game chamber.
Because we don't know if the game quadrants are in a line or they're in a square.
No
or
one
what?
Has any idea.
Also, if they just show showed you dying, the game is over, and theoretically, by the time you got back to where Richard Dawson was, he shouldn't be there anymore.
No.
No one should be there anymore, nope. Because the game is over.
Yeah, we saw him get killed. It's over.
So why they're still there is beyond me.
It doesn't make sense.
And then they're like, oh my god, if I had to hear her say the Oblink codes one more time, I have the Oblink codes. He told me before he died. And I was like, shut up!
Which was super convenient.
Yeah.
We did gloss over the fact that at this point, it's just Arnold and the lady. The other two guys have died.
Everyone else is dead.
Yeah.
And she's like, Mick Fleetwood is like, I have a message I want to send to everyone. I'm like, it's Landslide! It's Landslide! can you imagine? You have one chance to like dispel a tyrannical dictator.
He pulls out his guitar. It wouldn't even be Landslide.
And
it'd
I
be
took
like,
it down.
It would be like secondhand news or something that he's saying. Yeah.
I know. I'm picturing something like the weirdest Stevie Nicks, like Seven Wonders. It's like just the weirdest Stevie Nicks song you can think of. If I live to see the Seven Wonders.
Yeah, he comes up. And can everybody get down, please? Yeah, I can come here. You don't know who I am. My name
I know
is
that the people, the evil police force is probably on their way to my location as we speak.
Yeah, I'm not long for this world, but
so
I have
one very important message to give you,
and I want to make sure you all know this very important piece of information that you really need to just
go your own way,
fellow travelers of the future. Resist.
So what ends up happening, he's like, I'll speak. And you're like, what are you going to say? Like, what? How? What are you going to say? Why is anyone going to trust you? No one knows who you are.
Also, your makeup is terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
It is the worst age makeup in the history of the world.
And Amber's like, wait, show this. It's the raw footage from the Bayfield Massacre. And Schwarzenegger reasonably asks, where did you hide that? And she's like, she just gives him a look. And I was like, no, let's go back and answer the question. Because it was either up your chooch.
Yep, that's where it was.
Or up your butt. Or in your mouth. And since you were flapping your gums the entire movie.
If I could do Christopher Walken, I would do that. This watch has been in my ass.
You really can't do it.
Nope.
Walken's up there with your French accent.
It's a little bit better.
Ho. That's all I got, though. But I know my strengths.
This
I got
watch.
I've got ho and nothing else.
Well, I would do that, but that's probably
yeah. Was. Up the chooch, up the butter in the mouth was where that, not disc, but like SM card. No, not a SM card. SD. That's what it is. So they're like, perfect. We'll show this. Again, why anyone's going to trust this as not edited to look like that is beyond me.
Also, the real way you know this is the Resistance. Half people are wearing Che Guevara berets.
Oh my god, so many berets.
It's real serious.
Are you guys gonna do a demonstration on the quad later, hand out some flyers?
They're all gonna put black tape over their mouths.
Yeah, right. So she's I don't know why they split up. She and Arnold should not have split up in this resist movement.
No, not at all.
In the studio, like the siege on the studios.
But luckily it means we don't have to listen to her for like 4 minutes.
No, we do, because she almost gets raped by Opera Man. The Electric Light Parade comes back with a vengeance.
Back with a vengeance.
So, that was a real niche joke, y'all. Real niche market there. She like trips into him or something and like runs into him and falls over, and he's like, oh, hello there. And you're like, okay, Oprah, calm down. And he's like, you were laughing in the game. And I was like, no, she wasn't. No one was laughing at you.
Literally nobody laughed at you.
And
I did at home.
Yes.
But no one in the movie laughed.
Following along at home. And she calls him a dickless moron.
And he has no pants. When he comes in to come after her, and he has no pants on.
He does? I thought he had them on and pulled them down.
No, he's Winnie the Pooh it with underwear.
He's Donald Duck in it.
Yeah. And he has no pants on, but he's for
tidy whities.
Yeah. I guess he knew he was going to try to rape her. It doesn't
Before
really...
he saw her.
Yeah.
So he's like, I'll show you, dickless. And then the fire alarms go off. Does she shoot something to make the fire alarms go off?
I think she starts that.
And so then he gets electrocuted because that's awful circuitry.
Yeah.
If your costume consists of lights.
Kill you.
Maybe let's go back to the drawing board real quick.
Perhaps,
let's redraft
perhaps
this.
Perhaps just, I'm spitballing here. I know I'm not an expert, but if you could kill yourself by mistake, you'd probably fix
with
that.
With water. Something that covers most of the planet.
You're basically a science
double
alien.
Check this.
Get your shit together.
So she does that. Again, not really doing much, just circumstance is her favor.
Right. And then we get finally the big showdown with Mr. Richard Dawson.
And Arnold. And all the people in the audience are like, oh, it's Ben Richards! Like, excited to see him,
right.
Even though
he's
dead.
Murdering people.
Like, you yeah. just watched him die.
You watched a governor fight.
So you
the governors fought to the death. You watched a governor fight. Somehow the governors were there fighting to the death, and everyone just assumes Ben Richards still alive.
Yeah, again, really shitty like people, confused people. So, but Richard Dawson doesn't try to escape. He hides on stage for some reason.
A very small stage. Mm-hmm. A very small stage.
Open, small and open.
It is not a place where you can just slip into whatever
the shadows.
This stage in Girls Just Want to Have Fun is better for hiding.
Oh,
than
perfect.
This one.
That's the moon setting.
Yeah,
the moon landing set was great. You
exactly.
could duck in all the crevices
yeah,
and the craters.
Not this set. This is neon and open space.
So they start killing all the space ball soldiers. And
yes.
the audience leaves because he's like, get the audience out of here. Get them out.
Get them away.
And it's just Dawson and Schwarzenegger. I'm guessing everyone else died or left.
They don't really explain.
No, all of a sudden it's just Dawson and Schwarzenegger
yeah, just
doing their thing. And he's like, I told you I'd be back. And like straps him to the chair. And it's a classic moment of technology failing because we need the bad guy to get hurt.
Right.
And there's no other reason for it to have failed.
Right.
It's been working fine this entire movie.
Absolutely.
All of a sudden, the thing rockets with such force that it launches him through the big orange mesh thing, through a Richard Dawson billboard, and explodes.
And it's a big fireball.
And this thing is, it's a skeleton of a, it's metal, it's a metal cage mm-hmm. around you. It's not... I have no words. I've got nothing.
Oh my god, this ending. I have no words.
Oh, perfect. Great. And then Amber shows up, and she and Schwarzenegger kiss.
Yep.
And that's the point when I said, when do they fall in love? Did I miss that part?
Well, it's really hard to tell.
Was she squawking the whole time?
Yeah, well, her voice is hard to understand, and his voice is hard to understand. But I wanted to make sure.
Oh, the theme was great.
This is up there with No Holds Barred. I'll drop some more of it in on good quality here. But the theme for this movie... I'll drop it in the rest.
Beautiful.
Is amazing. Just utter amazing. He is a legend. This is John Parr's Restless Heart that you're hearing underneath us here while we're talking. And it is magical. I will defend this to the day I die.
That song? No, the song's
it's
great.
Magic.
Song's
Mr. Parr is a magical, magical man. So that brings us to everybody's favorite segment of the show. It is Hot Tag Taglines. Hot Tag Taglines.
The Running Man, colon, and the Shrieking Harpy.
Hot Tag Tagline. I literally cannot understand what anyone in this movie is saying. Would you recommend The Running Man?
Yeah, I would. It's fun. But not like unbearably. It's not unbearably awful, but it's very bad and fun.
I give this a wholehearted recommendation. This is as hearty of a recommend for me as you can possibly get. I think you should stop what you're doing right now and watch this movie. You're off today. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Most of us are off. Put it on Netflix. Pour yourself a cocktail and have a wonderful Monday.
I'm sure there's a drinking game out there.
You could drink every time you don't understand what someone's saying, and you'd be drunk in 7 minutes.
Anytime you think Richard Dawson is channeling his real thoughts.
I do want to say there's a special thing that's actually I arranged. I don't know if this is a bit of a surprise for you, but I brought a friend into the studio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Mr. Arnold Schwarzenegger is
here. Is he here?
He is, yeah.
It's exciting.
Yeah, so he wanted to say something.
Yeah, okay. Oh, hey, Arnold. How you doing today?
So, hey, Arnold. How you doing?
Hello there.
We really enjoyed the movie.
Thank you. This movie was great. But the problem with the movie was that he shot it like a TV show and it ruined the movie.
Oh, yeah, you weren't lit very well.
I was not.
We couldn't see all of your muscles.
They wanted it to be a TV show, and I said, no, make it a movie.
You were really a movie star at the time.
I was.
Yeah, yeah. You never did a lot of TV work.
No, never. Except the Universe pageant.
The Universe pageant?
The Mr. Universe pageant.
Yeah, I know. You were Mr. Universe. I'm well aware of it. Just wanted to say thanks for all the great years of cinema.
You're welcome.
Could you do us a favor?
What's the favor?
Could you do a little ad for the show for us?
Of course.
Okay, great. Take it away.
Please rate and review this podcast wherever you find it, be it Stitcher or iTunes. It helps raise the profile of the show, and they get to reach out to new listeners. I'll be back, yeah. But no, I won't.
What? Oh, it's a one time only?
One time only.
Oh, wow, okay.
Jamie!
Well, thank you so much, Arnold.
I don't even know who Jamie was.
I can't believe you left the room when Arnold Schwarzenegger came in.
That was I was real thirsty, y'all. But
that was like Arnold Schwarzenegger came in.
I know.
Here,
I'm
you
sorry.
Just, like, left.
He was my surprise too, which is the worst
I know,
part.
I was
you
like,
brought him in for me,
and you just left.
I was like, hang on, my throat is so dry.
I couldn't believe you just. I walked in the one door and you walked out the other end of the room.
It was ridiculous.
I know.
But Jamie, his assistant, was in the hallway. Oh, nice guy. Great guy. Great guy, that Jamie. Good to
know. Well, we do have one other thing we want to announce before we get out of there. We got something special in February.
Yeah. Since February is both of our birthdays.
That's right.
We thought we'd do something special, and it is
Forbuary! We are doing part four sequels for the month of February, and perhaps, I'm not going to promise anything, perhaps something special on top of our normal edition. Perhaps. If it comes to it, if we can get it out in time, it'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Make no promises.
Should we give the lineup or no?
No, I think we should be a surprise.
Be a surprise? Okay. Yeah.
Well, we could say, we could give them a hint. You want to give them a hint for next time?
There were three movies before this one.
That's a good hint.
I thought so. Don't you forget about me. I set you up.
No, I dropped. All right, I actually wanted you to do it. You're better than me.
Oh, I can't have a conversation with Arnold Schwarzenegger by myself. By complete surprise.
You could just.